Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Luke Cobray.
Well, today I wanted to talk to you this morning as we go into a Christmas-type message as we celebrate the advent of Jesus. Now, many of you probably don't know what Advent is. Does anybody in this place know what Advent is? Do you celebrating Advent? How many guys don't know what Advent is, but you've heard the word Advent? See, I figured, okay, because Advent literally just means to come. So I'll simplify it for you. When you celebrate Advent or when you say this is the Advent season, it's the season in which we celebrate Jesus coming, Christmas. That easy, okay? So as we celebrate Jesus coming, as we celebrate that, we're going to look at some Christmas messages. And today, I thought I'd talk to you about the glory days. The glory days. A couple of weeks ago, not too long ago, I ran into an old friend, a friend that I hadn't talked to in well over a decade. If you've ever run into somebody that you hadn't seen in a really long time, you know, you kind of start talking about things, you get to catch up with each other, start asking each other things like, you know, how's your wife? How's your kids? You know, what are you doing nowadays? I haven't seen you, I haven't heard from you, we haven't talked in many, many years. What have you been up to? And they tell you a little bit about themselves, and then you talk a little bit about what's going on with you. But then after kind of a while, you lose that common denominator, that connection is to like, okay, I'm not quite sure why we were so close when we were close, but, you know, we're in different worlds now. And I remember in this conversation, you know, you get that awkward silence where it's kind of like, yeah, whew, that's awesome. Well, man, it's good to see you. And the only thing you really can start to do to relate to each other is kind of go back to the times when you were close. And I remember we were talking about that, and this individual, my friend, my old friend and I, we were kind of connected in the world of extreme sports when we were kids, and we thought literally like we were invincible and nothing would ever happen to us, and all the different things that you get to pay for when it's cold and when you turn 30 and you have arthritis, and oh, it's amazing. Anyways. We were talking about that, and, you know, we started reminiscing about it and started laughing about some things that we were doing and things that we had done at the time. And he said this statement to me. He says, man, those were the glory days, weren't they? You know, we think about that. You think about that for a moment. We all have them. The glory days, the days in which everything was good, man. I mean, like, it's like the sun was shining and everything was in your favor. It's like you were the king of the world or the queen of the world and everything was doing well. Maybe it was before the economic crash and you were making money or your kids were young and now they're teenagers, and the glory days is when they wanted to kiss you and now they don't want to be seen with you or whatever it might be. We all kind of have those moments where we look back to and say, man, those were the glory days. Glory days, the good old days, the times that we remember and we kind of smile about. We say, man, I love to go back to that time. You know, the Bible talks a lot about the glory days. The Bible is full. If you look at the story of the Bible, and the Bible is really one big narrative from beginning to end of a story of people, a story of God and his creation, all pointing to Jesus Christ. But the Bible is full of stories of the glory days. And we look back to the glory days of the Bible. And I thought what I'd do today is I thought we'd kind of spend a little bit of time looking at the glory days of old and kind of talking about that. And I'm a creative person. I like the theatric and the different things. You've seen me with my illustrations. And so what I thought I'd do is I thought I'd talk a little bit about the glory days that we see about in the Bible. And as we do, I want to set the stage for you. The glory days. The Bible tells us in the book of John that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The glory days of old, as you read in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, that the Bible says that the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the dark and of the deep. God spoke and things began to happen, and humanity was created. The glory days in which, you know, even though humanity fell into sin, God moved in his people, and you could see, and there was no argument that there was a God who cared about his people. The glory days of a time when God spoke to Abraham and said, Abraham, follow me and I will make you a father of many nations. The glory days of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as we've been looking at them in the book of Hebrews. The glory days of Joseph going through the pit all the way into the palace of Pharaoh to see God's hand in every situation. The glory days of Moses after living 40 years in the wilderness, God speaking, his presence visible to Moses in the form of a burning bush, saying to Moses, I will make you a deliverer of the people. We read about the glory days in the Bible, in the narrative, in the story of the Bible, of God using Moses to lead his people out of captivity from Egypt. to the point where Moses, when he stood on the Red Sea, on the shore of the Red Sea, and you see the movies, and the ocean departs, and there the children of Israel cross the Red Sea into the area where God wants them to go, and the Egyptian army is drowned behind them as they walk on dry ground. The glory days when they saw God's presence dwelling in them and being about them, when God came down on the Mount Zion in a cloud and the people trembled with fear and there was no question that there was a God and that His presence existed and that He cared about His people because He supplied them with the manna from heaven. And every day they saw Him in the daytime by a cloud and at night by a pillar by fire. The glory days of the promised land when Joshua and Caleb led the children of Israel like Moses through the Red Sea, led the children of Israel across the River Jordan on dry ground. And all you had to do was walk around a city and cry out to God and watch God deliver the city. The glory days of Caleb saying, "That's my mountain God promised to me and I'm going to take it." The glory days in the Bible of men like Gideon, who God raised up to bring His people back to the position that He had destined them to be, a people to make His name famous. The Bible's full of glory days. Glory days like David in Goliath when he said, "Is there not a cause for this uncircumcised Philistine to die because he defiles the armies of the living God?" The glory days in which David danced in the streets of Jerusalem when the Ark of the Covenant was brought in and they'd just taken Jerusalem as the capital city. The glory days of Solomon and his wisdom. The people that would come from far and wide because of the wisdom of God given to Solomon, that they would come just to see if it was for real, because the presence of God dwelt in the temple that Solomon built. The glory days of kings like Jehoshaphat, that as he was leading his army to a battle that he knew he could not win, he praised God in the midst of that, only to find that God had already won the battle for him. The glory days of young people like Josiah, who led Israel in a complete reformation and brought their hearts back to God, and men like Hezekiah, who expanded the borders and who carried the revival of God. How about the glory days of Elijah, where he was on Mount Carmel in a standoff against the prophets of Baal, and he called fire from heaven to consume an offering that he had soaked in water? Or the glory days of Elisha, as the Syrian army encamped upon his house because they were mad that a prophet was giving away their secret information to the armies of Israel. And there, as Elisha's servant came out and he saw the armies of the Syria surrounding, he was afraid, and Elisha prayed, "God, I pray that you would open his eyes." And in that moment, he saw the legions of angels surrounding his dwelling. The glory days when there was no question that there was a God and there was no question that he cared about his people, and his chosen generation, his chosen people declared and made his name famous among the land. The Bible's full of glory days. But then something happened. His people lost sight of him. They stopped looking to God for answers and started looking to a king, to a ruler, to a man, to an idol. And as they lost sight of God, they lost the vision and they lost the voice and they lost the presence of God. And all of a sudden things began to change in their lives, and they didn't know where God was. They found themselves wrapped up in bondage and in captivity. The Babylonians and the Assyrians, and then Alexander the Great, and then the Romans. And the prophets of old, Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Jeremiah, Micah, they all prophesied about a leader, a ruler, a savior that would someday come and deliver them from their captivity. And there was a burning flame of hope. But years turned into decades, and decades turned into centuries, and centuries became eras where God was silent and the people were in darkness. You know, our lives are a lot like that story. That God moved. That you experienced God. You saw Him. He healed you. He moved in your family. You saw something happening and everything was good and you were living in the glory days. But those days came. After those days came darkness. Came silence. God, are you there? God, are you still listening? God, I don't see you. I don't feel you. I don't hear you anymore. Do you even care? And wrapped in darkness and despair and a sense of hope, that burning candle of hope began to dwindle into nothing more than just an ember of hope, a small coal glowing in a dark night. But then all of a sudden, something changed. In a flash of light, a star in the sky, some wise men on the road in the desert, a young virgin and her betrothed fiance, a barren woman and her husband, a priest, a prophet or a rabbi and a prophetess waiting and wanting, and shepherds in the night hearing from angels. And in just a moment in time, everything changed. Everything changed. And there, in Bethlehem, 2,000 years ago, with the visitation of farm animals in a manger, a young virgin and her fiancé gave birth there to a baby, Jesus. And in that moment, when Jesus breathed his first breath, everything on earth changed. Because the Bible says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And in that instant, in that moment, time itself was redefined. Era was split from before Christ to the year of our Lord, and now Jesus, in his arrival, in his advent, came and changed everything on earth in a single moment. The prophets of old, they knew of it. They had heard of it. They had prophesied of this, but it had been generations. I mean, Jesus himself had even said that Abraham laughed when he saw this day. Isaiah, he saw it coming. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 5, Isaiah said that the Lord spoke, and he said that the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And listen to this, all flesh shall see it together. And now all of a sudden, when Jesus took that first breath 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, everything changed. You see, the world as we know it changed. Your life changed 2,000 years ago because the seasons changed. The times changed. The era changed. You see, no longer now do we look at glory days as something as of time that has gone and come. A time that is in the past, a season. Now we don't look back to the glory days. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. Now we live in the glory days. Glory. What is it? Moses, when he was in the presence of God, God said, Moses, what do you want? And Moses said, God, I want to see your face. God said, you can't see my face and live. He says, what I'll do is I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock, and I will let my glory pass by you. The word says in that word that God, his glory passed by. It says God in his goodness passed by. What is glory? Pastor Jim and Dad's always defined it for us as glory is God's manifested goodness. It's God's proclaimed goodness. It's God's exalted goodness. You see, he made it known to the entire world, his goodness. And we don't live in a season looking back to the glory days of times of old. But because of Jesus Christ, now we live in the glory days, the time of God's manifested goodness in our life. His exalted, his glorified, he made it known to the world of his goodness. If you've got your Bibles, go with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 1. Now, we're not going in Hebrews chapter 11 like we've been there. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews in chapter 1, we're talking about living in these glory days. Hebrews chapter 1, I love how it says this. It says, verse number 1, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past. The glory days. The days in which God used Elijah to speak, the days in which God used Nahum to speak, the days in which God used Nathan and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Elisha to speak to the fathers. He says, God spoke in the past. But verse number 2 of chapter 1 comes along and it says, has in these days, God in these last days has spoken to us. To you and to me, God has declared, has made known through his voice. He has spoken to us through his Son, Jesus, who is appointed heir in all things, through whom he has made the worlds. The Bible says that in the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he says, and he goes on and he says, and everything that was created by the Word, and he created everything that was made was Jesus. And now all of a sudden, we live in the glory days. Why? Because Jesus, verse number 3, is the brightness of his glory. Jesus is the brightness of God's glory, his manifested goodness, his proclaimed goodness to the world. Jesus is the source of the illumination of God's goodness to you and I. We don't look to the glory days of old. We now live in the glory days because of Jesus Christ. The source of light, of glory, of God's goodness, and the express image of God's person. You see, Jesus brought us into the glory days. The glory days is the time in which God's goodness is shown and revealed to humanity. In John, the first chapter, I quoted it, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John, the first chapter, verse number 14, John, as he's writing this, he says, the second part of that, he says, and we, who's we? He says, me, I saw it. Peter in the New Testament says, listen, I'm not telling you a cunning, crafted fable. He says, all I can do is tell you what I saw. You see, John, Peter, and James were on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus was there speaking with Abraham and Moses, and they actually heard the physical voice of God booming down to them like thunder, saying, this is my Son. Listen to what he has to say. And now John comes as he writes the book of John, and he says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And John says, and we beheld the glory, Jesus' glory, as in the glory of the only begotten of the Father. We've seen the goodness of men. We've seen charitable works and actions of people before, but he says this was a glory, a goodness that could only be the first and only begotten of God himself. I love how John describes it, that word beheld in the Greek. As it's translated through the Greek, the sense of what John is talking about when he says beheld is he says, literally, we gazed at admirably. Think about it for a moment. John's saying, I had to pick my jaw up off the ground because I saw the glory of God in humanity with Jesus Christ. John says, we gazed, we stared, we looked at with admiration, with awe. God's goodness on earth. We beheld his glory, he said. You see, John was looking at this with admiration because now, all of a sudden, the divine secret of God was revealed to humanity. The divine secret. God gave us hints throughout the Old Testament, all the way to the back of the book of Genesis and the fall of man. As God says to the woman, he says, I will give you a seed, and I'll put enmity between you and the serpent, and there will be a seed that comes, and you will crush the serpent's head, and he will bruise your heel. See, God was giving hints to his divine secret, his mystery of his plan. Nobody knew it but God. And now John says, we beheld, we looked at it with admiration and with awe, a gaze that we couldn't take our eyes off of it, because this unfolding before our eyes in this moment was God's secret hidden from humanity for millennium, now revealed so that all could see the secret of God. Paul the Apostle tells us about it in the book of Colossians. Colossians in the first chapter, Paul says, now to them, who's them? The saints he's talking about, the disciples, the apostles, the followers of Jesus. Paul says, to them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among Gentiles. The New Living Translation says, God willed to them to make known his divine secret of his glory. What is that secret? Here it is, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The divine secret of God revealed to us humanity, as the angel was telling Joseph in his dream about Mary, as Joseph was thinking to put Mary aside, the angel says, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. The divine secret was no longer would God be disconnected or found in the presence of smoke on a mountain or in the Holy of Holies. Now God's presence would be amongst and with humanity, in us and with us. The divine secret. And so you see, the divine secret for you and I is that Jesus Christ in us brings God's glory, in parentheses, his goodness to us. Now, when we didn't deserve it, the Bible says Christ died. When we didn't earn it, when we couldn't do anything for it, God's goodness was revealed and shown upon us, the outsiders of God, because Jesus Christ was put on the inside of us through Jesus Christ and through his acceptance. And you see, Jesus in us brings God's glory, his goodness to us. That gives us hope for the future. That gives us a reason to live, a reason to exist. When everything else is going wrong in the world, we know we have God's glory to us and in us because of Jesus Christ. Paul in Romans, the 5th chapter, I tell you, Romans, 5th chapter, it's like a mind-blowing verse. If you ever want to just get a little perspective, Romans chapter 5, says it's very rarely that you'd ever see anybody die for a good person. And he goes on and he says, but Jesus, while we were sinners, while we were dirty, while we were grimy, while we were enemies of God, Jesus died for us. But verse number 1 in Romans, the 5th chapter, says, therefore, because we've been justified by faith, our belief in accepting Jesus as the Son of God, seated upon the throne room of heaven, making intercession and our advocate between God and us, now Jesus is the one that bridges the gap. And because of our faith, we have peace. When the world is falling apart, and this world is falling apart, on its way to hell on a slicked pole, we can have peace. When your life is falling apart, when there's darkness surrounding and that hope that you once had as a burning fire now is only an ember, we have peace because of Jesus Christ. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, verse number 2 comes. I love it though. He says, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace. God's unmerited favor, his divine ability to get the job done on your behalf when you couldn't do it, to get you through life, to get you through the darkness, to get you through the silence, to get you through the chaos of life. Now we have peace with God. We have faith in God. We have the grace of God because of Jesus. But I love this, and we rejoice in hope of the glory, the manifested goodness of God. You see, Jesus in me brings God's glory, his goodness to me. And God's goodness, his glory in me or to me, gives me hope. Hope to get up in the morning, to get yourself out of bed when it doesn't seem like anything's working in your favor. To look at your family that might be falling apart and say, I've got hope that today is not going to be the final answer of my family. Hope to look at your present circumstances and your situation to say, you know what, even though everything was going good and the glory days might have been before the economic crash when I was making money and now I'm broke. Hope to say, that's not my destiny and my future. Hope to get up and to look at yourself in the mirror and say, I can do this. because Jesus in me brings God's glory, His goodness to me, which provides me hope for today, hope for tomorrow. Why? Because we don't look at glory days as times of past. We are living in the glory days today because we've got God's goodness in our lives. Pastor Luke, amen. I'm so glad I came to church because I feel good about that. But you know what? I'm going to walk out of these doors and my life is going to feel the same. My kids are going to still look the same. My finances aren't going to change in the middle of a service, miraculous check deposited. So what do I do when I walk out of this place and I still feel darkness, silence, despair? It's so easy, we overlook it almost every day. And the answer for you and I is this: in everything, seek Jesus. In everything, seek Jesus. Not just in a church service, one day, two times a week, not just in a message, not just in a song that gives you goosebumps when you're driving. In everything, seek Jesus. You see, the world was waiting for the answer. The Bible tells us the story of the wise men. They saw a star and they went to Herod's palace and they asked him, "What's the star all about?" They knew, oh, the glory days told us there would be a star and the Savior, the Messiah, the leader would be born in Bethlehem. But they missed it. They missed it. The world was looking for the answer, but they missed it because it's just that easy to miss God. It's just that easy to overlook and to oversee, to miss God's goodness in your life. But to those who look, God's glory shines in a world of chaos. To those who will look, who will see, who will take time out of their busy schedules to say, "I'm not going to look at my circumstances and allow that to blind me to God's glory. I'm not going to look at my family and allow that to blind me to God's glory. I'm not going to look at my job, my boss, my feelings, my emotion, my whatever it might be. I'm not going to look at the terrorist attack down the street and allow it to blind me to God's glory, because to those who look for it, God's glory shines in a world of chaos. It's there. Simeon. A man, God said, "Listen, you'll live and see the Messiah," was looking for it. The Magi, the wise men, they were looking for it. They had heard about the star. The shepherds in the field were waiting for it. Joseph and Mary, the Bible says that they were upright before God. They were waiting for it. And to those who were waiting and those who were looking, those whose eyes were open, they saw the moment in which everything would change. Simeon, when he saw Jesus in the temple, he said, "For I have seen the Lord's salvation." Isaiah, what he had talked about, that all men would see the glory of God, came to pass the day Jesus Christ took his first breath on earth. And now we live in a season of glory. Jesus brought us glory. In John chapter 17, before Jesus goes to the cross, he prays for you and me. First, he prays for his disciples. He prays for his faithful followers. And then after that prayer for his followers, he prays for us. 2,000 years ago, Jesus prayed for you. And in his prayer, he says these words to God. He says, "God, the glory that you have given to me, I give to them." Who is them? You. This is Jesus' prayer for you. The glory, the manifested goodness that you gave to me while I was here on earth to teach and to show and to give and ultimately to die for, now I give it to them. You and me, we have the glory of God, that they may be just as Jesus says, we are. one. And I love the next verse, the answer to this whole reason, the answer to the divine question right here is exactly what Isaiah said. He said, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know. Isaiah 40, verse number 5, like we read about when he says, there will be a day when the glory of God will be visible for every human being on the earth. Jesus, his prayer before he goes to the cross says this, the divine secret is going to be fulfilled right here. The glory, God, your manifested goodness in me, now I give to you. He says that the world may know that you loved me and you sent me, Jesus says, and that you loved me. Them. You see, Jesus Christ in me brings God's glory, his goodness to me, and that gives me hope. Hope for tomorrow. Hope to understand, as cliche as it might sound, your best days are ahead of you and not behind you. Glory days are not the season or the days in which we look at what things happened and how they were good back then. No, glory days are here to stay in our life and our season in our life. Your best days, it doesn't matter how old or how young, doesn't matter how much you've wrecked your life, now your best days are ahead of you because of Jesus Christ. The glory of God will shine in a world of chaos to those who will look. But you see, it's so easy to miss, just like it's so easy for us to lose grasp and sight of the season. It's so easy in Christmas to get wrapped up in Christmas lights and decorations, in family time and meals and cooking and food and commercialism and commercials and Christmas movies and eggnog and hot cocoa and marshmallows and all the different things and Michael Bublé songs. It's so easy to miss the essence of Christmas, the advent of Jesus Christ, or the coming of Jesus Christ. As easy as it is for us to miss Christmas, it's just as easy for us to miss God's glory. See, it's going to take a person, it's going to take a people to say, you know what? I'm going to make it a point to see God's glory in every circumstance, to see God's goodness in every situation, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Whether my life, the sun is shining, or I'm surrounded by darkness. Whether everything's going for me the way I want it to go, or nothing is going for me, I'm going to stop and see God's glory. Because to those who look, God's glory shines in a world of chaos. Elijah, when he was running from Jezebel after he had just seen the glory days, God says, I'm going to visit you. And Elijah's in a cave, and the Bible says that a great wind came. Rocks blew from the wind. I mean, think about that. The wind was so strong, it blew rocks off the mountain. That's a big wind. But it says God wasn't there. A great earthquake came, and the whole world shook. God wasn't there. A great fire arose on the mountain, and God wasn't there. And then a still, small voice came, and there was the presence of God. To those who look, God's glory shines. So when I say in everything, seek Jesus. In everything, seek Jesus. Not just in a church service, not just in a praise and worship song, not just in a Bible-based movie. In everything, seek Jesus. Because this world is crying for an answer. And we have what the world needs in us, Jesus Christ. John says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Our minds were blown by the goodness of God. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, as he came full of grace and truth. The answer. Not looking to a man for answers, to a god or false god for answers, to a committee, to an economy, or to a country for answers. You see, everything the world needs that they're crying out for, we have. Jesus in us brings God's glory to us. And John says Jesus came with everything the world needs. He came with glory, God's goodness. He came with God's grace, his unmerited favor. He came with God's truth, the word made flesh, the wisdom and the direction for life. And when we look for Jesus, we will see God's glory. Because as Hebrews said it, Jesus is the brightness of God's glory. And it doesn't matter how dark the night is in your life, how quiet it seems because God hasn't spoken. I'm in one of those seasons. I love it and I hate it when somebody tells me, God's speaking to me, all these things, and I'm like, God, where are you in my life? But no matter what, if we look, we will see God's glory shining in a world full of chaos. Church, you don't look to the glory days. You live in the glory days. The glory days are here to stay. Because Jesus in me brings God's glory to me. If we just open our eyes, we'll see. We get so wrapped up in us. We get so wrapped up in me, how I feel, what's going on, that we put blinders on. Church, as you walk out of this place today, the presence of God, I believe, is here on you. But understand something. Jesus didn't come so that his presence would fill a building. God's presence already had done that. He came so that his presence would fill you. And when you walk out of this place, his glory, his goodness, his mercy, his justice, his grace, his righteousness, his healing, his peace is in you. Because 2,000 years ago, when it seemed like all hope was lost, the glory days began. When Emmanuel, God with us, took his first breath. Today, he's here with you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. God, we thank you for your Son. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. God, we thank you that we are so blessed that we get to live in the glory days, that we get to live in a time, in a season, in an era where your goodness has been and will be made known to all humanity, including and beginning with us. Lord, I ask today that you'd speak to each and every person that's in this place. People that came into this place without hope. People where their families are falling apart. Those whose children are walking away. Those whose jobs are non-existent and have been waiting and wondering, God, where are you? I'm believing and waiting on you. Lord, I pray that you would begin to show us as we look your glory, your goodness. And as there might just only be an ember of hope, Lord, I pray that your goodness would begin to fan a flame on the inside of us, that we would see and realize and recognize that we have Jesus. And if God be for us, who could be against us? So, Father, I pray for comfort in those hearts. God, I pray for peace in those hearts. God, I pray for direction in those hearts. I pray for wisdom, and I pray for your leading and your guiding and your presence to follow us and surround us wherever we go. As we leave this auditorium, we would know that Jesus brought us your glory, and your glory gives us hope that our best days have yet to come because of Jesus Christ. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.